Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible on KEQX 89.7. The views, opinions, contents, or beliefs expressed on the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Clark Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, or beliefs expressed on this show may not be the same of KEQX or any of its agents. This show is brought to you by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas.
Friends, we want to welcome you to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. My name is Kerry Clark, and of course, have with me Brother David Harris, and we certainly are excited that you've chosen to tune into the program this evening. We want to encourage you to open in your Bible to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3, in just a few moments, we're going to begin a discussion, but I just want to pause and remind you that we're going through a series of studies about the Holy Spirit of God. And we began this series by talking about a lot of misconceptions that are out there concerning the Holy Spirit of God. And then we talked about the Godhead and how that Jesus is God. God the Father obviously is God, and also God the Holy Spirit is God. And so we need to understand that. And then, of course, the last 2 weeks we've been talking about the inspiration of the Bible. Friends, one of the greatest misconceptions is what we're going to talk about this evening. For many people, one of the most fearful thoughts or one of the most fearful terms that is found in the New Testament is the word blasphemy. Blasphemy is represented as a horrible sin in the Bible, but we need to ask the question and hopefully answer the question, what is blasphemy? And then we're going to notice, well, have I been guilty of this great sin? Can one who has been guilty of that sin then be able to find pardon for it? And of course, these are serious questions. And as David and I were talking about this idea this afternoon, we talked about it, and we don't know of a time where we've gone somewhere to preach the gospel that we haven't been asked about this sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And so we want to go in this afternoon, and we're going to talk about what it is, and we're going to answer these questions. And by the way, this is a call-in talk show, and if you would like to join in our discussion, the number to call is 254-445-2473. That is 254-445-2473, or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. Friends, we introduced the idea just a moment ago. What is blasphemy? Well, blasphemy very clearly is, according to the Bible, a sin. And that means to rail or to slander or to speak against another. And we can blaspheme against one another as human beings. We can blaspheme against God. We can blaspheme God the Father. We can blaspheme God the Son. And we can also blaspheme God the Holy Spirit. So what is this blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? Now, David, we're going to begin by noticing what it is not.
Right.
Because in order to understand what something is, most of the time it helps us to understand what it is not. And so, David, do you want to talk about what it's not?
Well, right. Well, one of the greatest, greatest concerns of many Christians and many people who are even religiously minded is, have I been guilty of this fatal sin? Have I been guilty of this blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? And so they as we all know, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God.
Right.
But there is a difference between a sin and this sin.
Okay.
And so when we look at the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, it is not murder. And a lot of people think, well, that's the worst thing that you could possibly do is murder. But it's not murder. We can be restored from that act
that's
of
right.
murder. Now, we're still going to have to face the consequences, but we can still be restored from an act of murder. If you look in the Bible in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, those men were guilty of killing the Son of God.
Right.
And so it is not that murder. They were pardoned when they rendered obedience to the gospel in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, when they repented and they were baptized for the remission of their sins. They were pardoned of that very horrible, horrible sin of killing the Son of God. Also, we have the example of Saul of Tarsus. He was also guilty of murder, but then he was pardoned when he was obedient in Damascus when Jesus told him what to do. And so the Holy Spirit blasphemy, one thing it is not murder.
Well, David, not only that, it's not adultery. You know, it is an atrocious sin when we sin against our own mate, and obviously in saying that we're sinning against God as well, but when we sin against our mate in marriage, that is not the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Because, as you pointed out a moment ago, those that were guilty of murder, mm-hmm. They repented of it in Acts chapter 10. Well, the folks in Corinth, they converted, and they had been fornicators, they had been adulterers, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. But the Bible tells us in verse number 11 that they had been pardoned, they had been washed, they had been sanctified, and they had been justified. And so Paul drew a very sharp distinction in what they were and in the past and what they were at the time that he made this writing. So, mm-hmm. friends, we need to understand Holy Spirit blasphemy is not adultery or murder.
And another thing it's not. It's not a backsliding or a turning actually away, apostatizing from Christianity. Sins which can be rectified and pardoned. You take the sin of and the case of Simon the sorcerer, and we've
That's
mentioned
right.
this several times on the show, when especially when people say that you cannot fall from grace. Well, here is a perfect example
That's
of
right.
an individual that did fall from grace. Simon the sorcerer, it says in Acts chapter 8 verse 13, he believed and he was baptized for the remission of his sins, and later he sinned a grievous sin, and he was pardoned for that when he asked forgiveness of that sin, and he was restored by the prayer of Simon Peter, by the way. Also, you have the case of all of the Galatians there in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 5 who had fallen from grace.
That's
and,
right.
and they also were rectified and they were pardoned. Those that had been in error in Ephesus and Pergamos and Thyatira and Sardis and Laodicea, all those in the churches, those churches there in the book of Revelation that we're talking about, all of those were restored, and it all proves that a return is possible with full pardon extended. But friends, repentance is going to be the key
Amen.
To every bit of this.
That's right.
Every single bit of it.
Friends, we also need to understand that blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is not procrastination. Now, David, there's a lot of things that people put off, and that's all procrastination is. It's a big fancy word to describe putting something off.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're all guilty of that, I would dare say. You know, the yard needs mowing, but it's hot outside, so I'll do it tomorrow when it's a little bit cooler, whatever it is.
Right.
You know, we tend to put things off. And, friends, a lot of times people will procrastinate when it comes to obeying the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. David, you know of instances like this. I know of instances. I remember the first place I ever preached, a man came in. He was in his late 80s, and he talked with me, and he said, "Kerry, I want to tell you," he said, "my dad was an elder in the Lord's church. My grandfather was an elder in the Lord's church. I married a woman who was a member of the Lord's church. All my children are members of the Lord's church, and I have not yet obeyed the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." He was sick. We took him. It took six men about 4 hours to baptize this individual. But David, he had almost procrastinated until it was too late.
Right.
But friends, just procrastination in obeying the gospel is not it. This is obviously damnable if I do not change it. In other words, this man almost waited too late. And we know of instances like that where someone calls and says, well, you know, I think I'm ready to obey the gospel, but I'm not quite sure. And so I want to tarry a little bit longer. And then, of course, something happens and they don't ever have that chance. It reminds us of Felix when he said, you know, if I just find a convenient time.
Right.
Then I will obey the gospel. And as far as we know from the biblical record, he never found that convenient time. So we can procrastinate in obeying the gospel, obviously, until we die, and then it's too late. But that's not what this blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is all about.
No, not at all. And so what I think we need to do here, Kerry, now that we've pointed out some of the things that it is not, the only way that we can know, and we've said this on several different occasions, and by the way, this is our motto, that you have heard what men have had to say. Now let's hear what the Bible has to say. The men have called this throughout the ages the unpardonable sin. Now, by the way, if you want to call in and talk with us about this, the telephone number to call is 254-445-2473, or you can email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. Now, men have called this the unpardonable sin, and the only way that we can know God, the only way that we can know Jesus, the only way that we can know the Holy Spirit is through the Word, and the only way that we can know about this unpardonable sin that men have called the unpardonable sin is also through the Word, and we've got to get into the text to see what it is. And so if you're with us today, what we're going to do, there are three parallel passages that we could read about this. There's one in Mark chapter 12. There's another one in Luke chapter 11. But the one that we have selected to read is the one in Mark chapter 3. And, Kerry, if you will give us the background information concerning the leading up to this horrible sin, this so-called unpardonable sin here, well, we will read what the text has to say about the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit.
All right. Friends, if you have your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 3. And I'm going to very quickly, because we don't have time to go into a lot of detail on the background information, but Jesus had entered into the synagogue. There was a man there that had a withered hand, and the people were watching whether he was going to heal this guy on the Sabbath day. And of course, Jesus does this by pointing out it's lawful to do good on the Sabbath day. And then, of course, he is angered by their response. And so the Pharisees then, they, because of what Jesus was doing, took counsel with the Herodians how they might destroy him. And so Jesus then withdraws himself, a great multitude follows him. And he gets into a little boat and he goes over to the other side. And it says in verse number 10 that he healed a lot of people. And it said that there was one with an unclean spirit that saw him and worshiped him and said that you are the Son of God. So he charged them, don't let anybody know this. So he went up into the mountain. He chooses his 12 apostles, and then a multitude comes together in verse number 20 that is so large that they could not even eat bread. And then even his friends, when they saw what was going on, David, they said about Jesus, well, he's beside himself. In other words, they were thinking Jesus is allowing himself to be led into this trap with the Pharisees.
Right.
And they thought that he was going to get killed at this point. And so they're like, oh, Jesus, have you gone crazy? Why are you going to allow yourself to walk right into this trap? But, David, we know that Jesus knows everything, and he's not about to be led into a trap by anybody, and especially not these Pharisees at that point. And so that gets us to verse number 22. And David, I think you're going to read Mark chapter 3, verses 22 through 30.
Right,
okay.
Right. Jesus actually uses this as an opportunity to teach more of God's word and just exactly what is acceptable and what is not. In verse number 22, it says, the scribes, which came down from Jerusalem, said, he has Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casts he out devils. And he called them unto him, and he said unto them, in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself, and he be divided, he cannot stand. He has an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then will spoil his house. Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies, wherewithsoever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Spirit hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. And then he says, because they said he had an unclean spirit. And so the Jerusalem scribes, they enter into the picture with their accusations. And first, Carrie, they claimed that he had Beelzebub. Now, in Christ's time, this was a devil.
Right.
And that's what they are accusing him of. And it's equated to Satan. And they linked the Lord, the Son of God, with the devil. They bound him hand and foot, so to speak. And then secondly, notice and tell us what they did secondly. The first one was they accused him of having Beelzebub, and now what?
Well, then, David, they were saying, they were actually accusing Jesus of being able to expel these demons by the power of the devil and not by the power of God, not by divine power. And friends, let me tell you, that is a serious slap at the deity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Can you imagine claiming that Jesus is possessed of the devil? And friends, we need to understand, if the truth of Jesus' deity is undermined, then his mission on this earth is defeated, because nobody is going to follow him if he is not truly God. And David, we've talked about that on the radio. Mm-hmm. Jesus is God, and we need to understand that.
Now, this is a very serious accusation that they have made, and Jesus' kingdom of righteousness cannot be found, cannot be built upon the foundation of Satan. There is absolutely no way in the world.
Absolutely not.
And so they have accused him of being something, and they're doing this very openly, by the way. They're making this proclamation in the first century while Jesus walked upon the face of this earth, and they're accusing him of, number one, having a devil, and number two, doing his work by the power of the devil instead of by the power of the Father, God, Jehovah, the creator of the, of the universe. Now, all righteousness is in God and the keeping of his commandments, and by saying that he's doing this by Satan, it's a terrible, terrible accusation. And now we get to the meat of why this is a blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Now, as I see what we've run up against a break here. Now, the phone number to call is 254-445-2473. And the email is keqx@rocketmail.com. Now, we would like you to get in on this conversation. This is a very serious sin, and one that is that troubles lots of people in this world. We want you to understand what the Bible has to say about this particular sin. That's why we're here today.
I come to the garden alone.
The prophet Isaiah said, "The people walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. Years later, centuries later, when the apostles began to preach concerning Christ's church, this same area saw many people become Christians, and we read that in Acts chapter 8. Indeed, the light of Christ's redemption shone brightly. The light of Christ makes a difference in your life. The darkness of sin, you can find the light of his forgiveness. In the darkness of ignorance, his wisdom illumines the way. In the darkness of trials and trouble, his presence dispels the blackness. Whatever darkness threatens to overshadow your life, let Jesus be the light who drives it away. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieves shall be condemned." Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. You are invited to come worship with us at the Hillcrest Church of Christ, where the light of Christ is taught. Bible class begins at 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning with worship following at 10:30. Correspondence courses are also offered. Call us at 254-968-8167. Let us worship the Lord together in spirit and in truth.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord.
The Pony Express was a colorful part of American history. It ran from St. Joseph, Missouri to Sacramento, California, about 1,900 miles. The trip was made in 10 days. 40 men, each riding 50 miles a day, sped along the trail on 500 of the best horses available. To conserve weight, clothing was light. Special lightweight saddles were used. The mail pouches were thin and light also. Letters were written on thin paper and postage was $10 an ounce. Yet each rider carried a full-sized Bible. Presented to him when he joined the Pony Express, and he carried it with him on every trip. Oh, how we need Bible-toting and Bible-quoting Christians today. The Park Heights Church of Christ is committed to spreading the gospel to Central Texas and beyond by speaking the truth in love. Friends, we would like to invite you to visit our services. We have Bible classes for all ages Sunday mornings at 9:30. Our morning worship services begin at 10:25. Our evening services begin at 6 p.m. on Sunday. And we also have midweek Bible studies on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. If you would like to contact us, please call 254-386-3953. We meet at 1300 East Boynton Street in Hamilton, and our mailing address is P.O. Box 107, Hamilton, Texas, 76531. You may also visit us on the web, www.parkheightscoc.com. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Welcome back to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, and we're here together with Kerry Clark. We're talking today about a great, great sin that troubles lots of people, the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, and we're using the Bible and the text to show us just exactly what this sin is. We spent the first portion of this program telling us and pointing out what it's not. It's not murder. It's not adultery. It's not backsliding or apostasy. It's not procrastination and an obedience to the gospel. But what the sin is given to us in the text in Mark chapter 3 and verse number 22 and following. And finally, he says in verse number 29, he says, "But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Spirit has never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation, because they said he has an unclean spirit." Now, Kerry, they are accusing these Pharisees, these very religious Jewish individuals, they are accusing Jesus Christ of having an unclean spirit. Actually, in verse number 22, they accused him of two things. They says he has Beelzebub, which is equated to saying that he has Satan in him. And then also, they accused him of, by the prince of devils, casting out devils. And that's when Jesus started with the parables, refuting what they were saying. Can a man stand against himself and actually stand at all? And no, he will fall. Now, perhaps it is that it would be good if we backed up over in Matthew chapter 12, and looked at the actual miracle that he was accused of, where these Pharisees made all these accusations. Have you got that there, Kerry?
Yeah, I've got it right here. Okay. Friends, if y'all want to open to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 22, it says, "Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw." And of course, everybody's amazed by that, and they start questioning, well, wasn't this just the Son of David who did that? And that's when the Pharisees began to accuse Jesus of being possessed by the devil and doing what he was doing by the devil. Now, friends, if you want to join the discussion, the number to call is 254-445-2473. That's 445-2473. Or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. And so Jesus heals this man that was demon-possessed. He was blind and dumb. And he performed this miracle, David, right in front of his enemies. There's no way they can deny the miracle.
No, and not only in front of those enemies did he do it, he performed that miracle in front of that great throng of people followed him from Galilee into Jerusalem. And so it would do them no good at all to deny it, even among themselves, because there were too many people that saw this. And so they were trying to make light of it. They were trying to discredit what he did as being something that was foreign to anything that everybody knew in Judaism.
Well, David, you stop and think about it. If they acknowledge this miracle, the Pharisees who have fought against Jesus, if they at this point acknowledge this miracle, then they would have to say that he is the Son of God, and they're not about to say that.
No.
And so their only option at this point is to come up with another plan, and that plan is, well, he's just doing that because he's working with the devil.
Right.
You know, David, and that kind of gets to the heart of these men, does it not?
And I think we cannot overemphasize that part. This is all a matter of the heart.
David, if I am faced with the fact that Jesus is the Son of God and the Bible is the revealed will of God, I'm either going to do what the Bible says or I'm going to try to come up with a way to excuse myself from not doing it. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're doing at this point. They're saying, wait a minute, if we acknowledge this, then we're going to have to say Jesus is the Son of God. We're not going to do that. And so their heart was so hard at this point. They said the only other option that we can say it's done by the devil,
right.
And they didn't realize just how grievous that sin was. They were rejecting the divine source of the miracle and attributing it to Satan. And so, David, what did Jesus at this point tell them that they had done?
Well, in the Matthew account, in Matthew chapter 12, in verse number 24, it says, "But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out devils but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." And so they are making sure that all of the people that saw this, they want them to be believed. They want them to believe what these Pharisees are saying themselves. And they say, this didn't happen by the power of God. This happened by the power of Satan. And this man has the power of Satan. He doesn't have the power of God in him. It doesn't have the power of the Holy Spirit in him. He's working through the power of the devil, and here's what he answered them. He says in verse 25, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand." And what he's doing, he's comparing himself to what they just got through saying.
That's right.
I can't be associated with God and associated with Satan at the same time and stand here. It just won't stand. And verse number 26, he said, if it's true what you say, and I am Satan, if he cast out Satan, he's divided against himself. And how then shall his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub, and that's another word for Satan, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. Now he kind of slaps them in the face there.
Yeah, he does.
He said, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is upon you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathers not with me scatters abroad. Now I love that, verse number 28. He's refuted them on both points. In verse 28 he says, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God, the church, the body of the saved, is upon you.
And David, not only that, but stop and think about this for just a moment and look at it in this light. When Jesus says that, he's telling us, friends, I've just whipped the devil.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing this by the power of the devil, friends. I'm doing this to show you that I am superior to the devil.
Right.
You know, David, and I know this is chasing a rabbit, and I won't chase it very far, but we act like sometimes that the devil is more powerful than God.
Yes.
And that's the way these people were acting.
Exactly.
You know, David, we go along and we hear people say, well, I can't go an hour without committing a sin. Well, why not? if God is more powerful than Satan, why can't we whip sin in our life? And so Jesus said that I have just entered into the strong man's house, the devil. I have spoiled him. I have taken his goods, and I have bound him. That's right. What he did to Satan.
Yes, and to answer your question, I don't think it's chasing rabbits. When people say, I can't do this because Satan overwhelms me, I can't do that, and I sin on this and that, there's only one reason that could take place, and it, again, is a matter of the heart.
That's exactly right.
Because if we don't have God in our heart, if we don't have Christ in our heart, if we don't have the Word of Christ dwelling in us richly with all wisdom,
right,
as we're told in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, then we can't fight. We cannot fight. We're not equipped to fight
devil.
We can't overcome the power of his influence.
That's exactly right.
Absolutely cannot do it. Now, folks, if you want to get in on this conversation, we would love to have you. We had a caller that called in just a moment ago, and for some reason we were cut off. But, caller, if you would like to call in again, had something to do with another version of the Bible and what her Bible said, and we would love to hear what kind of version you have there, and we would address that, your question, or if you have another point that you would like to make, we would love to hear it. We're talking here about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit and how devastating it is to a lot of people. So many people, they think that they have committed this sin, and because the sin is, as men put it, in men's word, it is an unpardonable sin, we have a problem. We have a real problem.
That's right.
I understand we have a caller on the line. Would you give us your first name and then state your question or your comment, please?
This is Jim.
Hello, Jim.
How y'all doing?
We're doing good. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, well, we finally got a radio to pick you up.
We're good.
Just got a quick comment. You're talking about this matter of the heart.
Yes.
You know, we've got to remember, God will not force us, the all-powerful creator of the universe, God will not force us to follow or love him.
Right.
Satan does not have the power to force us to follow him. We've got to love God because he first loved us. We've got to despise and not follow Satan because he does not have that power to force us to follow him.
You're exactly right, Jim, and that leads us back to what we were talking about earlier. People act like that Satan is more powerful than God, and he is not. And God, like you said, who loves us, allows us freedom of choice to do what we want. So I appreciate that.
Very good.
That's the only comment I had. Good to hear you guys.
Well, good to hear from you. Keep your radio tuned up. I'm glad you bought one that cost more than $12.
It must be strong to pick us up, too.
By the way, Jim is calling over in Brown County, way over there and deep in the heart of Brown County.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's hard to pick up the station over there. It's right on the borderline of where we broadcast out of. But that's a very good point that he makes, that Jesus or God is not going to force us to obey, and neither can Satan force us to do anything.
That's right.
But again, we can arm ourselves and with the power of God, which is the gospel.
That's right.
To fight off all of this sin that comes our way and all of this temptation that comes our way. But now, when we get back to this temptation, not the temptation, but the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Carrie, we have had so many people ask us, am I guilty of this?
Right.
Am I guilty of this? Because they don't know just exactly what it is. And the only way that we can know exactly what it is by reading what the text has to say to us about
yes.
it. And that's what we're doing here. And if you have a question or a comment, again, just like Jim called in, give us a call at 254-445-2473. Kerry, what did Jesus do when he told them what he told them? I'm trying to put myself in that place when he says, I've just whipped the devil.
Yeah.
I've taken him at his own game, and I've whipped the devil here. Now, obviously, Satan was operating through those religious men, the Pharisees, to get this point across.
Yes.
Now, he whipped the Pharisees dead right. Now, what in the world could possess them to say what they did except the devil?
Well, that's the only thing that could do it. And the devil, and Jesus talked about this in Matthew chapter 13 when he gave us the parable of the sower.
Mm-hmm.
And he said a sower went out and he sowed seed, and he said that some of that seed fell on hard ground. And that ground was so hard, David, that the seed could not penetrate, and the Bible says the devil comes along and snatches it.
Right.
And so that's exactly what we see with these Pharisees. They see a miracle that they cannot deny.
Mm-hmm.
They know that what Jesus is doing is right, but their heart is so hard that Jesus' words cannot penetrate their heart, and then the devil snatches it up.
Right. And that's a beautiful illustration. And by the way, that is Jesus' illustration
right.
of just exactly how it happened. Now, it's hard to imagine. It is hard to contemplate these individuals being Pharisees. Being Pharisees, they know the Word.
Yes.
They know the Scriptures. They know that they can quote most of it by heart. They know the writings of the prophets that have gone on before them. They know about the fathers. They know that Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 18 that he was going to raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto Moses.
Right.
They know all of this, and yet they can't stand it, because if Jesus is Jesus, they're going to lose their stature in society.
David, and you know, that's what happens with a lot of people when they are confronted with the truth of the gospel and they have been in some false religion, and then they're confronted with the truth.
Mm-hmm.
They realize, if I leave this particular religion and become a member of the church that Jesus purchased with his own blood, then I lose all my power, my stature in the community, and I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
Exactly the same situation these mm-hmm. guys are in.
It's like sometimes, though, even then, it's hard to imagine someone denying the power of Jesus the Christ. But we'll get into that in just a moment,
yeah.
how it is that we deny this power. Now, the enormity of the sin that these folks committed is given to us in verses 31 and 32. And Jesus says here, and we're talking about Matthew chapter 12, because they have accused him of having a devil, and because they have accused him casting out sins by the power of the devil and doing these miracles by the power of the devil, this is what Jesus had to respond to them. Wherefore I say unto you that all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaks against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this age, neither in the age to come. And the New Testament, the King James Version actually used the word world there, which is an inserted word, which age is the actual word that is used there according to the Greek. And so we see it is an unpardonable sin as far as the heart goes, and only Jesus knows the heart. You see, all sins and blasphemy are pardonable, provided, and we talked about this just a moment ago, provided repentance takes place. But now, the Holy Spirit blasphemy is an unpardonable sin because it is a matter of the heart, but only Jesus knows the heart.
That's right.
Only Jesus can know that. Folks, we've come up against another break. We're going to take this short break, and if you have a phone call, you don't want to call us during the airtime, this number is still 254-445-2473. The email is keqx@rocketmail.com.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the
Pony Express was a colorful part of American history. It ran from St. Joseph, Missouri to Sacramento, California, about 1,900 miles. The trip was made in 10 days. 40 men, each riding 50 miles a day, sped along the trail on 500 of the best horses available. To conserve weight, clothing was light. Special lightweight saddles were used. The mail pouches were thin and light also. Letters were written on thin paper and postage was $10 an ounce. Yet each rider carried a full-size Bible. It was presented to him when he joined the Pony Express, and he carried it with him on every trip. Oh, how we need Bible-toting and Bible-quoting Christians today. The Barkite Church of Christ is committed to spreading the gospel to Central Texas and beyond by speaking the truth in love. Friends, we would like to invite you to visit our services. We have Bible classes for all ages Sunday mornings at 9:30. Our morning worship services begin at 10:25. Our evening services begin at 6 p.m. on Sunday. And we also have midweek Bible studies on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. If you would like to contact us, please call 254-386-3953. We meet at 1300 East Boynton Street in Hamilton, and our mailing address is P.O. Box 107, Hamilton, Texas, 76531. You may also visit us on the web, www.parkheightscoc.com. We look forward to seeing you soon.
I come to the garden alone.
The prophet Isaiah said, "The people walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death upon them, a light has shined." Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. Years later, centuries later, when the apostles began to preach concerning Christ's church, this same area saw many people become Christians, and we read that in Acts chapter 8. Indeed, the light of Christ's redemption shone brightly. The light of Christ makes a difference in your life. The darkness of sin, you can find the light of His forgiveness. In the darkness of ignorance, His wisdom illumines the way. In the darkness of trials and trouble, His presence dispels the blackness. Whatever darkness threatens to overshadow your life, let Jesus be the light who drives it away. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieves shall be condemned." Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. You are invited to come worship with us at the Hillcrest Church of Christ, where the light of Christ is taught. Bible class begins at 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning, with worship following at 10:30. Correspondence courses are also offered. Call us at 254-968-8167. Let us worship the Lord together in spirit and in truth.
Friends, we want to welcome you back to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. We certainly appreciate you tuning in. Now, David and I have jumped in the middle of a very difficult subject, and we're talking about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, and we've already talked about the fact that the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, it's not murder, because people were forgiven of murder in Acts chapter 2, and it's not adultery, because... The lead up to this discussion, and that was the background of this text, that Jesus had healed a man that was possessed with a demon. And when the Pharisees saw this, they understood that they could not acknowledge this miracle as coming from God, because then they would have to acknowledge that Jesus was the Son of God. And it reminds us of what we find in John chapter 12. It says in verse number 42, John 12 and verse 42, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." And David, that seems to be the problem with these Pharisees. Right. They love the praise of men, and they're not going to acknowledge that Jesus is who He says He is, and demonstrates by the very miracle that He just did that He was the Son of God. Proved that He had whipped the devil. He didn't cast out the devil by the devil.
He did it by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's where the problem is. And David was pointing out that all sins and blasphemies are pardonable if we will simply repent of them. But friends, if we're not going to repent of anything, then we are in essence blaspheming this Holy Spirit. We're saying that the Holy Spirit is not who he claims to be. And so, friends, sin clearly is a transgression. It is iniquity. It's going beyond. It's stopping short of the duties that are commanded of us. It's a refusal to conform to God's law. And blasphemy is speaking against, slandering, railing against another. And the Bible tells us that a person might even speak against Jesus, as these guys did while he walked on the earth, by claiming he was just a mere mortal man and not accepting that he is truly the very Son of God. But friends, there is no justification in associating the Holy Spirit and Satan as one.
Well, this is the reason that Holy Spirit baptism is so serious.
Blasphemy.
Holy Spirit blasphemy is so serious. Well, we were on that a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm glad you corrected me on that. This Holy Spirit blasphemy is so serious. It's deadly serious. The enormity of this violation, everything that they should have known about the Spirit of holiness and the Spirit of truth, they talked against. They railed against it.
That's right.
When you were talking just a moment ago in John chapter 12 and verse 43, when you said they love the praise of men more than they love the praise of God, you know, Jesus actually addressed those very individuals in John chapter 3 and verse 19 when he said they love darkness rather than light.
That's exactly right.
Because they'd worked the works of darkness, light's come into the world, and they've rejected him. He's talking about the very same kind of people that would do this. And so when we look at this blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, it is something that is so severe. So severe that it is something that will harden one's heart to the degree that he would do something like that. I can't imagine somebody killing Jesus Christ, and they did.
Yes.
But to accuse him to his face that he is not who he says he is, that he is not the Son of God, that he does not do the miracles that he does because of the power of the Holy Spirit, but instead he does it because of the power of Satan. Now that is taking it even a step further than killing the physical body.
That's right.
Because after all, Jesus did say in John chapter 6 and verse number 63, he says, "It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The word that I speak unto you, it is Spirit and it is life." Now they were blaspheming that which was valuable, that which did not profit nothing. They crucified him.
Yeah.
But now they're working on the spiritual end of it, and he won't have it.
Friends, if you want to join the discussion, the number to call is 254-445-2473. That's 445-2473. Or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. David, I look at it like this when we're trying to illustrate what is going on. God the Father had given the Jews the law of Moses.
Mm-hmm.
And that was to be their guiding light and their guiding principle. Now, some of those people very clearly rejected God's plea with them to live according to this message that he had given them. And then God sends his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus preaches for 3 or 3.5 years. And these Pharisees were rejecting him, and they were mocking him, and they were ridiculing him. But David, they still had hope, because there is another age coming, and that is the age that we call the Christian dispensation. And that dispensation has been often referred to as the time that the Spirit addresses us. The Holy Spirit guided the men to write the New Testament. Friends, if we reject the New Testament, we don't have any hope.
None whatsoever.
If we rejected Judaism, there was a chance we could repent. If we reject Jesus while he's there on the earth, there's still a chance. David, we illustrate it like this, and I hope this helps people to understand what we're talking about. if I am caught in a fast current, let's say I'm up at Niagara Falls and I get too close to the water and, you know, I slip in. And there's a guy there with a life rope, and he throws it out to me, and I miss it. But as I go on down the river, there's somebody else, and they throw out a lifeline to me, and I miss that one. If I go on down the river, and there's the final person there, and they throw out the lifeline, and I miss that, then I'm going over the falls. And that is what it seems to me that Jesus is telling us. If you reject if you reject God the Father in this Mosaic dispensation, and you reject me during my earthly ministry, Jesus said, you still have hope, and that's the Christian dispensation. But friends, if you reject the New Testament gospel, there's no hope for you.
Right.
There's no other lifeline. God is not going to give us another opportunity than this opportunity that we have mm-hmm. right now. And so if I reject that, in essence, I have blasphemed the Holy Spirit. I've said he doesn't matter.
Right. Well, there also, you know, we've talked about this and brought it up on several different occasions. It is a matter of the heart.
It is.
When evidence is put before you and you reject the evidence is given by the power of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
You reject that evidence, you have nothing left to hold on to.
That's right.
Only a person who has had their heart hardened by the world, maybe even by Satan because of their lack of effort on their part to sanctify the Lord God in their own heart, then here comes Satan, and he's going to work on them. He's going to work on them in a big deal, in a big way. And, you know, we talk about Exodus and the book of Exodus where Pharaoh had his heart hardened.
Right.
In two different ways, it says Pharaoh hardened his own heart, and then another one says that God hardened yes. Pharaoh's heart. God knows the heart.
Yes.
And the same power can harden hearts on one hand and actually melt hearts
right.
on another hand. And a perfect illustration of this is Peter's sermon. I preached it last night, Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 3. When he got through preaching that second sermon, there were some men there listening to that. They threw him in prison.
Yes.
That's how it affected them.
Yeah.
But then if you look down there in chapter 4 and verse number 4, you see the rest of the results, and over 5,000 people heard that thing, and they were converted.
That's right.
And that is the difference in the matter of the heart. One will accept it, one will reject it. And when we get to a matter of the heart, and Jesus says that this is an unpardonable sin, when a person's heart is hardened to such a degree that he would accuse Jesus Christ of having a devil and not doing things by the power of God, but by the power of the devil, he has hardened his heart to such a degree, he's not interested in repentance.
That's right.
But we want to leave this ray of hope during this broadcast here. As long as a person will repent,
that's right,
he can have hope of eternal life.
That's right.
As long as a person will repent. Now, God knows the heart.
Yes.
And he knows what the point is where that person has rejected the Holy Spirit, has blasphemed the Holy Spirit. He knows where that point is where he will not return.
That's right.
And that's the reason that this is called the unpardonable sin, because when a person gets to that point, he won't return. And Jesus and God knows the heart and what point that is at which that is going to take place.
Well, David, and I think that when you stop and you look at it, we have an email, and so I'm going to read the email. It says, blasphemy is outright disrespect to God. Sometimes people think that is an act, which it can be, but is a lot of times it is verbal. Taking God's name in vain is blasphemy. People don't think about the words that come out of their mouths. The phrase OMG, of course, we understand that's, you know, when people are using it as a slang, oh my God, or saying it out like nails on a chalkboard to me. I can't stand it. Also talk about the unforgivable sin of blasphemy. Thanks. Well, we certainly appreciate your email, And friends, that's what we're talking about, this this sin of blasphemy. Listen to what it says in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 26. Hebrews 10 and verse 26. Now, I know, Barry, if you're listening, I know that's not where the context starts, but we're going to have to pick it up there for time's sake. It says in Hebrews 10 and verse 26, "If we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment? Suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace? For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth to me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people." Now, friends, listen to Hebrews 10, verse 31. "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Mm-hmm. David, that illustrates this blasphemy, rejecting God's message and just turning against it and attributing it to Satan or whomever we might try to pass that off as.
Right.
Friends, this is a grievous thing to do, but as David said just a moment ago, and it's not because David said, it's because the Bible teaches it, there's always hope for repentance, and only God knows a person's heart to know where they are in this particular situation.
Now, in Mark chapter 3, we got 2 minutes left here. In Mark chapter 3 and verse 3, Jesus establishes the precise nature of this sin. He says there, "Because they said he has an unclean spirit." Holy Spirit blasphemy is attributed to is to attribute the miracles of the Messiah to diabolical power and not to divine power.
That's right.
And when we do that, we have denied the Holy Spirit. When we deny the Holy Spirit, we deny the power of God to give us the revelation of His will.
That's right.
We have done that. And friends, it is so important that we understand that the Holy Spirit blasphemy accuses the Christ as possessing this unclean spirit. And it is because of that that we cannot call God Satan, we cannot call Jesus the devil, we cannot call the Holy Spirit a demon. And we've got to be extremely careful about how we use that terminology.
Well, David, and it is outright a malicious act to try to attribute these things that God was doing, Jesus was doing, to the devil. And not only that, friends, if we confuse the two kingdoms of good and evil, the only way we do that is because we're doing it maliciously.
Right.
And we're trying to attack. David, it would be like calling the Church of Christ as equal to the Church of Satan.
Yes. I
and
agree.
Friends, that is blasphemous. And you need to take a good long look at your heart. And you need to make sure that you're not involved in this kind of conduct. Now, David, I think it's about out of time, so I just want to say how much we appreciate everybody listening, and we appreciate you, and I'm going to leave it to you, David.
Okay, well, I want to close with this one last word. There are masses of people today that are guilty of pardonable sins.
Right.
But they're just unforgiven. If you will repent and come to Jesus and obey the Word of God that will save your soul, then you can be forgiven of
That's
those
right.
things. And we want to leave everybody with that ray of hope, and God bless America.